Gender is so ingrained in us that whenever we see those lines blurred or broken, it can be quite a thrill.
As much as people love drag, it's just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to playing with gender. Today, transvestite dominatrix Amy Vodkahouse joins us to talk about her adventures in force feminizing people for fun and profit.
Plus, being part of Sharon Needles and Alaska's House of Haunt in the early days before they all got on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Why crossdressers love to walk in nature.
And a sneak peek at the new trauma film, Kill Dolly Kill, where Amy Vodkahouse plays a transgender dominatrix out for revenge. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
And I don't want to be a sissy boy.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of the support of fierce, fabulous people like you. Become a member and listen to 14 years of amazing podcasts at feastoffun.com/plus. Or put a tip in our tip jar and make a one-time donation at feastoffun.com/donate. Thank you for your support.
Hello.
Hello, is this Amy Vodkahouse?
Well, hello, yes it is.
Ooh, I'm interested in your sissification services.
Have you ever seen a pro-dom before?
Besides my mother, no.
So what are your physical and emotional limits?
I don't know what you mean by that.
Well, how much pain can you take? How much?
Well, I've been doing this podcast for 15 seasons now.
We've done more interviews with Sharon Needles than any other human being on the planet. We can handle it.
We can handle some pain.
Well, good. Then you should be just fine. What's your budget?
Well, not
much.
Do you take a link card?
Well, then maybe you should talk to Sharon Needles.
Listen, when I first met you, it was actually an event that Sharon was doing at the Andy Warhol Museum around Christmas time. You were about 6'5" in heels, and you looked like Zsa Zsa Gabor on steroids. You are a big girl.
I was 320 pounds, girl.
Wow. And now you're a little slip of a Bosnian bitch.
I am 170 pounds.
Well, that's a transformation.
Yeah, I lost 150 pounds, but I did it a good old-fashioned way, just crystal meth.
The crystal meth diet.
Portion control.
Yes, it works every time, girl.
Did the body transformation sort of inspire you to go into this direction of transforming other people through gender?
Yeah, well, that's what I do for a living, and I gotta keep my girly figure for work.
What inspired your original transformation?
I was just really unhappy and unhealthy, so I had to change something. So I divorced my family, and then I got a dog, started hiking, and I didn't even know intermittent fasting was a thing. It's just something I did. I decided, you know what, bitch, you're going to stop eating at 5 p.m.
Mm. And that was it?
So, that was it. And that's how I live now. It's been over 3 years.
So eating a half a cake at 2 a.m. is not a good idea.
Oh, fuck yeah. I eat anything, chocolate cake, any time of day, but nothing between 5 p.m. and 5 a.m., though. But I eat like a pig for most of the day. I just don't eat after 5 p.m., and it works. It's magical.
Mm. I imagine that your calves are gorgeous, though.
They are.
Because big girls who lose weight, they've been carrying the big body for so long that it kind of trains your legs.
Your muscles.
They're very muscular legs.
Yeah, it kind of did end up looking like that. So I got it all covered in tattoos.
Oh, that's hot.
Well, and you live in Pittsburgh, and so you're hiking all those mountains, too. So I imagine
I
actually does it, too.
What are you doing?
That's what my sister's friend called you. You're one of those ridge runners.
Mm. Yeah, Pittsburgh is nothing but hills, bridges, universities.
And beer.
Yes, and dive bars.
What's the queer scene in Pittsburgh like? From the times we've been there, we've seen fights break out. Things can get pretty intense.
Well, that's back in the day when drag was fun here. I don't know. I don't do it anymore.
So you're not performing as a drag queen?
No. I perform all the time.
Oh,
in hotel rooms.
In private sessions. No, I don't do out calls with first-time clients.
Amy, how did you get into doing transformations for cross-dressers as a profession?
Well, two things happened. I got better at makeup, and then cross-dressers started coming up to me, asking me, like, oh, girl, you look good. Will you do my face? And I always did it as a side gig, especially while I was in college.
Uh-huh.
I used to bartend dressed up, and I would host drag shows. And that's when I figured that I can get straight guys to do whatever the fuck I want when I look like a fantasy creature. There was this one time, some guy was giving me head in a parking lot, and I was like, I'm sorry, dude, I have to piss. And he was like, just let it go, baby. I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess I could charge for this.
So you just peed in his mouth?
Hell yeah.
Well, all right.
So the water sports kind of led you into wanting to be a professional
feminizer? Not exactly. Well, I started, once I was done with school, I kind of quit doing drag, and I started in hospitality. I got a job, and then I was managing hotels for a few years, and I was making decent money, but I had no fucking time to spend it because I would work over 60 hours every week.
Mm.
And it was depressing. So I thought, like, this has to end. Like, this is not the life I want to live, in this corporate slavery and look a certain way. And
because you were dressing as a guy, you were wearing a suit.
Yeah, it was terrible.
You were working 60 hours a week, and you're just like, I could just be a beautiful woman.
You know what my social life was? Fucking all the flight attendants, because we had a contract with the airport. Like, I had no social life. That was my social life.
So you were checking them into the hotel, and be like, you're in room 312. I'll be in to see you at 2 a.m.
Yep. Pretty much.
Now, weren't you afraid of getting caught by, like, the management and stuff like that? Or did you just change into a different costume or something?
Well, I was management.
Oh.
I don't need to follow the rules. I made the rules. I'm exactly. Auntie Entity. Two men enter, two men come in my mouth.
Something like that. Oh, you want to speak to the manager? What do you got to say, bitch? Go ahead.
And so it was, which came first, like the forced feminization or the female transformations? Because part of your thing is, like, you know, you have a couple of different hats and you have a couple of different dungeons, right? So as you kind of can make men up as women, and it's,
it depends what the session is about, because different places have different setups, whether it's a medical play, whether I'm going to do with. Well, yeah.
Are you a nurse?
I can be for the right price.
Are you a nurse vodka house? Do you put, like,
I actually am certified phlebotomist. Isn't that funny? Because I figured if this shit wasn't going to work out, I was just going to work at an AIDS clinic.
A phlebotomist is somebody who is to draw blood.
Mm. Yes.
And so are you giving them, like, saline solutions? Are you, like, drawing blood like an old-fashioned barber?
Are you pumping up their testes with, the scrotum with saline? What's up?
Scrotal infusion, yeah. No, mostly it's just about the enema station. But anyway, first... Shut up. Well,
I think it's delightful.
Isn't it? You know, it's just Mondays in the office.
But so, like, which came first? Was it the dominatrix kind of stuff, or was it just that? Was it the forced feminization, or was it the makeup stuff first?
Because, like, I was doing the BDSM work, but I wasn't charging it what it cost or calling it what it is. Because first I started m2fantasy.com, which is my cross-dressing makeover services. Remember back in the day when Craigslist had personals?
Mm-hmm.
When I was fed up with my hotel business, I said, you know what? Let me post under M for T and T for T.
Sure. Male for trans or trans for trans.
Or trans for trans, where these girls can find me. I posted cross-dressing makeover services, and then I got so many responses. And eventually I realized I can just do this for a living. So I did that for a couple years. But what I didn't realize, like, all the time, like, when I would do makeovers and photo shoots ended up me putting them into bondage or into some kind of BDSM scene. And eventually, I got hired to do makeover on, some married couple hired me. And she happened to be a professional dominatrix.
Mm.
And then I come to realize, like, well, we basically do the same job, but I'm like charging $50 an hour for these makeovers and photo shoots, and where she makes like $350. I'm like, well, let's call it what it is and charge what it is. And of course, there are no transvestite dominatrix is around, so I'm pretty busy.
Now, you were telling me that, when I was talking to you the other day, that you were saying that movie portrayals of BDSM, for the most part, are very overly exaggerated.
I think it is, because, yeah. I don't know, like, I'm very casual with everybody. You know, a lot of people come in very nervous, or I always tell everybody, just use fucking words to tell me exactly what it is you want, and they're scared or embarrassed, so, you know, we just act like friends and figure out how much they can take and go from there.
So what is it that people don't get, or what is the misconceptions that we have based on seeing bondage scenes in films?
It's misrepresented in a way, like in movies you just see a bitch in a latex barking orders at somebody, beating them up or yelling at them like they're a dog or shit like that. That doesn't happen in real life. Usually people just want to be put in bondage. People like to be edged or forced to come in bondage where they have no control over what you do to them. Or public humiliation sessions where you basically just take them out, or if I cross-dress them and make them get out, pump the gas, because these men, they've never been cross-dressed in front of everybody, and here they are, they hire me, and I take them out and make them get out of a car to buy me cigarettes at a gas station or take them to a bar. So it's simple as that. Like, to me, it's like just something I do every day, but these people, it's outrageous.
Tell me more about taking them out into public spaces. I want to hear about what that's like for you and what it's like for them.
Well, for me, I kind of had to simmer down on my party, because, you know, you're kind of in charge of these people's safety. And I only really take them to gay bars. Like, if I take cross-dressers out, I used to take them only to gay bars, because these are the type of places where you'll run into other T-girls and it's accepted. There'll be no problems. Like, I'm not trying to trailblaze. I don't want to be the next tragedy on the news, because people often, I get emails. Like, this one time, somebody messaged me, like, oh my god, you do accompanied outings. I always wanted to walk around the Point Park and around the stadiums. Let's take some pictures. Let's go shopping. Bitch, I do not have a death wish. It's nothing like that.
Well, if you need some muscle for hire, I'm happy to come down there and help you out as your wingman. God.
No.
And walk. Well, you know, it depends. You know, some people do that. Like, that's part of their process, because you're dealing with a lot of people that are on, like, they're on that gender precipice, right? Some of them, like, may kind of think of themselves as trans, or they only want to be trans for that hour or that afternoon. But for some people, this is their first steps out into becoming a trans woman. And taking those steps out in public for them can be a very exhilarating and very powerful kind of thing. And we learned from one of our listeners in the UK that there's a shopping mall in, like, Essex, I think it is, in the UK, which is, there's a woman there who really teaches a lot of people how to be a woman. And like, part of, like, her school is to send them to the mall, and they've got to walk around the mall as a woman.
I get those, but I get many people. To some people, I did have some clients that actually did transition. I had clients who it's purely just sexual thing. Like, there was this one that sees me a few times a month. And first and second time he came over, like, he always knew he wanted to cross dress, but he didn't know what the hell he would look like. He would wear panties secretly, but he came over for a full makeover, and he wanted to dress really conservative first couple times, and it was just awkward. And then he decided he wanted to suck some dick, so he made a profile on FetLife, and now her name is Stevie Slut on there. She's on my friends list.
Oh, is she taking dicks out of your mouth now?
No. Did you train? Do that.
Did you train her right out of your own job? That she wanted to dress conservatively, are you talking like a business suit?
Yeah, because she just wanted to look like a proper lady.
And now what does she
now,
look like?
Now she hosts gangbangs. Like, if you go under her profile, she is fun. Oh, yeah. So, like, a few times a month, I have a bunch of them girls, these two girls, that have me make them up, and then they just have different guys come on over and, you know, load queens. So it's different for everybody.
So it seems like you're sort of creating a space for people to explore not just their sexuality, but their own gender as well.
Yeah, that happens too. Yeah, I definitely had few that did transition eventually. They just came over, like, they didn't know what the hell they're going to look like, if this is something they can do. And then I took them places out where it's accepted, where they meet other girls. The next thing you know, they made friends, and now they're out all the time. And then they start hormone replacement therapy, and it just goes from there.
So you're sort of like the fairy godmother to a lot of trans people.
Yes. Yes. That's why I teach. Well, that's another thing I do. I teach makeup at transgender conferences. I just got back from Fort Lauderdale. I was at the Southern Comfort Transgender Conference. And the next one I'm doing is actually in Erie, which is where you're from.
My hometown.
Like Erie Sisters. Yeah. Yes.
The Erie Sisters, you know, I've met people from all over the world. I've met people like in California and other places. When they find out I'm from Erie, they're just like, oh my God, the Erie Sisters were very formative in my coming out as a trans person. I'm like, yeah, but you grew up here in California. They're like, yeah, but they were very active in, you know, forums. And so people would visit the forums, and that's how people got a lot of information back in the day, because, you know, there was a lot of, you know, not much information. So you got it wherever you could. And so they really respect and look up to the Erie Sisters.
Well, it's still around and it's still popular. It's not the biggest event out of the conferences, but you know, it's a good amount of girls which get together. I do their makeup. I'm out on a vendor floor. And a lot of these conferences I go to, it's a lot of same girls going all around, because usually these are like businessmen. They're married. They have their businesses, and then they need this escape from reality. So they just go different places. I get to see same people all over the place.
Amy, I'm interested in knowing why you think that so many first timers are interested in being out in nature. And I go to a website like maskon.org. You know, which is an interesting idea. A lot of cross-dressers, they want to wear plastic masks and prosthetics to sort of give themselves the illusion of femininity. And one common thread in a lot of the photos is that they're all hiking in the woods.
That I didn't know that they go hiking, but I know they come over to get a makeover and then they go driving around just to feel feminine in a car. But I've seen people in a full latex masks, and it's usually because their wives don't want them to shave their beards, or they cannot shave their beards, and they just put on a latex mask, which cannot be comfortable, but I've seen people do it.
But I'm wondering if there's a common thread here with people sort of who are in the closet, especially LGBTQ people who explore their sexuality at forest preserves. For a lot of us, we live in urban environments. So to me, it seems like a very interesting thing to be walking heels in a, you know, dirt road in a park.
That is not cute.
Yeah, I guess there's this idea of like the physical space becomes a form of liberation for what is going on in their mind and in their body.
Well, I guess you answered your own question. That I'm not that familiar with. I usually just take them out.
But I mean, it's like you're wanting them, you're always guiding them away from dangerous situations, but part of it is like they want to go into places that they're very familiar with or comfortable in.
Eventually, one of the clients is Swingers Club, and since then, I've just been taking clients there like, oh, you want to suck some dick? Well, that's like the easiest job for me. I just sit in a chair and beat them with a crop and make them suck all the dicks through a glory hole.
Have you ever dressed one up and then just dropped them off in the middle of nowhere? It'd be like, I'll pick you up in an hour.
No, I didn't. I've been asked to do abandonment. No, I do not do that. There are things that I do not do.
Why wouldn't you abandon somebody if they really wanted it?
If they really wanted it? Hell no. Because like, what if something happens to them?
Well, you're responsible for their safety. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
These are grown adults. You know, if they want to walk around in women's panties out, like, you know, at the truck stop on the I-79, then it's like, whatever.
Well, we like to think that's the case, but gender nonconforming people still in the eyes of the law, especially in non-urban environments or non-major cities, are very vulnerable. And someone like you, if your client got harmed or hurt, they would be, your life would be in trouble. Your own safety would be in trouble.
Well, it's not just that. It would hurt my business because bad reviews spread like a wildfire.
I don't know. They say like when people sell drugs and somebody dies from an overdose from the drugs, they're like, you have to have this stuff because it's so strong. Like Amy's so reckless. She'll take you out in the middle of nowhere and leave you like, ooh, I want that. I don't know. It could be a real, it could be a real selling point. You know, as long as you have fun with, as long as you have fun with it.
Well, that's the thing. It's like you're advocating for Amy to put herself and her clients in danger. And as funny as it is, you know, I've been in situations where I've been in half drag or cross dressing, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. just going to a gig, and I parked my car and I'm going into the club and somebody outside is like, get her, mm-hmm. you know? And I was like, well, at least they used the right pronoun. You know, and it's terrifying. You're like, you know, because you're all alone and you're trying to run in heels and you're just like, it's, you know, you're like, God, what happens if these people catch up to me?
Right. See, I used to carry a gun all the time. And eventually I learned that it's apparently illegal to take it anywhere where they serve alcohol, which is like the only place where you might actually need it.
Mm.
So there was this one time, this girl, Tiffany, kept hiring me for accompanied outings. And the first time she hired me, I realized that my gun was in a purse, and I was like, we took her car. So this bitch met me for the very first time. She don't know me. And I'm like, girl, I need your car keys. I need to leave my gun in your car. And later, I heard her telling people this story, but I never thought of it from her angle. So here she is, cross-dressed for the first time in a bar by herself, gave her, this bitch her car keys because she has a gun. And for all she knows, I left.
Oh, my yeah. God. Well, you have right. a website and stuff like that with your name on it, so I think she probably trusts you to some degree.
Do you ever get any kind of negative reactions when people find out what you do for work?
Well, it definitely hurts the dating life, of course. Being a fetish worker, it's kind of hard for people to stomach.
Mm.
Like, oh, I work at a bank. What do you do? I see naked people every day.
Do you ever think about just like hiding that part of your existence from them?
Oh, no, not really. It is what it is. And I've been attending more kink events and meeting my like-minded people. So that's where I meet people. And I thought about like dating other sex workers. And I recently met this guy. He's a sex worker. And I felt like, well, this is cool. He's not going to judge me. This could work. And he told me he's into cam sex. And I didn't know. I'm like, oh, you have sex on a camera? He's like, no, I sell them drugs and then I fuck them.
Oh.
Like, oh, God.
What drugs are they usually taking?
Not gonna work. He said he mixes G and Molly, I think. I don't know.
Mm.
So it's usually T, G, and E, the three letters.
I suppose. Yes, I will have none, girl. I have a mortgage and a dog that needs me, so I don't fuck around with that.
When you're dating people, are you dating as a boy, or are you dating as a T transvestite girl?
Oh. Sometimes, but that's usually for money, right?
Right. Do you get better dick as a girl or a better dick as a guy?
See, I only top, so that doesn't matter to me.
Oh, okay.
Do you get
better ass?
Oh, my fucking God, listen. Straight guys always let me do whatever I want.
Oh,
but
really?
Recently, I got my dick. Oh, yeah.
Straight recently, guys are adventurous?
Can you believe this? I had my... Yeah, they tend to be. Well, I always dress kind of androgynous. I always have some makeup on, and I always wear women's clothes.
Mm.
So, lines are so blurred nowadays.
Amy, can you tell me about, like, the first time for some people, like, the level of excitement and energy that you see in them when they see themselves as a different person in the mirror?
That's my favorite part. Like, the way I used to have my cross-dressing studio set up, I had a big mirror, but then I took it down because these people don't want to see the process. They just want to see the end result.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like the best part of it. Like, I remember seeing this Native American guy. I've never seen a Native American person in my life in person. And he was fucking gorgeous. He looked like one of those in a movie. He was maybe like 5'9", that reddish tan braided onto his ass. And I did his makeup and he was going to use his natural hair. And I used to have really long hair. And I told him, like, look, girl, you're just going to look like yourself. Let me put on a wig on you. So I put him in a red hair. I dressed him up like he was so scared at first. And then he left dressed. And that happens so many times. Like, they're so excited when they see what they can look like. Like, they have no idea.
But isn't being two-spirit part of his culture?
I suppose. I hope he comes back.
It is now.
So cute. Right?
So a lot of times, though, like, there's a little bit of a difference. Some people, like, they walk out as a girl. You dress them up as a girl and they're happy.
Oh, yes. Oh, my. Yeah, there are different people. Trust me. Different people come for different reasons. Mm. Sometimes they park so far away intentionally from my place so they would walk and be seen walking back to wherever they are. And I remember one time this kid came all the way from Denver, stoned as fuck. So, you know, I did him up. He goes out, comes back. I was like ready to go walk my dog. And he comes back. My car is missing. Well, where did you leave it? There. Like, bitch, can't you tell that's my neighbor's driveway? So we had to go to impound, get his fucking car.
Was he still dressed as a girl?
Yeah,
so Did you charge extra for that?
She got the full... yep, she got the full fantasy, honey. Oh, yeah, I can tell you stories. Trust and believe. Oh, you want to hear the wildest one?
Yeah.
There was this one time, and you cannot make this shit up. This guy's job title is penetration analyst.
So, sweet.
Yeah, he's a hacker, and basically bank pays him to test their system, I guess, so that nobody can hack into bank accounts, whatever. So his wife and kids were away, and I remember it was Monday when he came over to see me for a makeover. And it's so funny, when I dressed them up for pictures, like, they pose normal and awkward in dresses. You put them in a lingerie, girl, it's ass up. Yeah, so he was, like, really into it. And 2 days later, on Wednesday, he calls me up, and he wants to go out, but he wants to get some dick. So, you know, I do the makeover, take some pictures, and he gave me full control of his phone, so I make a Grindr profile. I took him out to Blue Moon, so he's having drinks, he met all the girls, he's having a good time while I'm lining up dates for him. So for the rest of the night, I'm like a fucking pimp. I'm sitting in a car waiting while this bitch is getting banged out by random straight dudes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, one of them was like a coke dealer, which I'm still friends with. But the next morning, she calls me up. She's like, I think I got AIDS. And I'm like, well, don't worry, I'll take you to my slut clinic. So, like, I took him to get on a post-exposure. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's like, it's a one-stop shop, full service, girl.
You know where to go, where to find all this stuff. And so I imagine you also have a lot of guys that come in, they want to get dressed up, but they're not going to leave like that at all. What's that like for them?
Well, it depends what they want. Like, if it's a play session, they just want to be feminized. Like, some guys don't even care about makeup. They just want to be put in a slutty lingerie or bra and panties and be tied up in bondage. Mm. It's different for everybody. Like, there's not two same clients. Everybody's in it for different reasons. Everybody... Like, some people just want me to cross-dress them and leave them in the room by themselves to have a date with themselves. And that's, like, an easy money for me. Like, I do nothing. I'm watching TV downstairs while this bitch is playing with herself.
When you date yourself, are you always, like, disappointed you didn't put out?
Do you? I don't know.
I'm never bored. That's too much.
Right. I never do that. That's too much work.
So back in the days when you were a drag queen in Pittsburgh, you were a big part of the House of Haunt, Sharon Needles and Alaska Thunderfucks scene at the Blue Moon Bar.
Oh, yeah. We were the original bad girls. Like, back in the day, House of Crackheads.
What was the scene like when you, Sharon Needles, and Alaska all started dressing up in drag?
Yeah, we all started together, and it was fun. Like, back then, doing drag was not cute. Like today, every fucking bitch puts on a wig, and it's like, oh, I'm gonna go to open stage, girl. Like, back then, we were just freaks. It was outrageous. It was punk rock. Our shows, girl, we would have protesters, because we would do, like, politically incorrect shit, because it was just funny and to get a reaction. Nowadays, that shit would not fly, let me tell you.
What kind of things did you guys do?
Oh my, there was this one time when Sharon in Alaska dressed up like Twin Towers and did It's a Raining Man on 9/11.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
Oh yeah.
Isn't it? And another time we did,
but we used to do like shows in a way that it was like a whole production. Like, we would rip off a movie or something. Like, I remember one time we did Wizard of Oz. Mm-hmm. Sharon, she was a wizard, but actually she was Osama bin Laden, and I was a transsexual tin woman, and at the end she gives me a heart, and I'm like, ooh, it's ticking.
Wait, it's gonna explode?
It's a bomb.
Yeah. Oh. Now what kind of alibi do you have for when Sharon's house was set on fire?
Oh my, I remember, we were at Pride when that happened, and her house used to get fucked up all the time. Like, girl, one time I was driving a car in a shady side, and somebody threw bricks through my windshield because they were trying to get her.
Holy.
And we would come back to their house. Oh yeah, don't you know about that? We all went to court and got a restraining order on this, like, crazy social justice warrior lesbian group, because they were, like, following us around and harassing us at shows, and they would spray paint her house, throw eggs, and...
So this is something that happened before anybody got on Drag Race, is that you guys were sort of pushing the envelope and trying to push people's buttons by doing things that were more and more outrageous. And part of yes. people in the community responded by not just protesting, but stalking some of you guys and throwing bricks through Sharon Needle's home. And we never visited an original home that almost burnt down, but people said it was kind of like the mm-hmm. Adams family house.
Oh, it was fun.
It was spooky and weird and full of old shit and, you know, lots of stuff mm-hmm. all over the place. And then Sharon moved to another place that had this huge basement. And that's really sort of where the golden age of the Blue Moon developed and where everybody got on Drag Race and mm-hmm. you know, the rest is herstory.
Yes.
Do you miss those days?
Well, I would never want to go back to my 20s because sometimes yeah. I'm surprised that I'm even alive. Like, back, I mean, if I had this wisdom, if you want to call it that, and be back then and be young again, be 25 again, sure, but girl, we did some wild shit. It was crazy.
Because part of it is that you guys were like friends and you loved uh-huh. each other and you wanted to impress each other with who could uh-huh. come up with a more outrageous idea week after week at those shows.
Mm-hmm. Well, the things I miss the most is just like bullshitting around, getting our makeup on before going to the gig, and gigs were always fun. Other than that, drag is just so much work and it's cheap. And unless you've been on Drag Race, you don't make shit. Like, girl, I'm not leaving my house for like what drag shows pay like $50 or $100. And I charge $100 just to put makeup on. And then I charge hourly. Fuck that.
What happened with the burning down of Sharon Needles' kitchen?
Well, somebody tried to start a campfire. That's what it looked like on a stove.
Cooking
that's
marshmallows?
What it looked like. I don't know what they were doing, girl.
Mm.
They were here in Chicago in our house. Mm-hmm. Then we got a call. You know, it was really serious and very terrifying for them.
Yes. Yeah.
I imagine the landlord wasn't happy about it either.
Well, maybe they were. She got to move out finally.
They're like, get out.
Yeah, the house stopped getting vandalized.
Sharon was saying that her original home was possessed much like the Poltergeist house. And if it she could have gotten Tangia to get these spirits out of it. And they're just like, yeah, they just moved.
She's not kidding. It really was. Because when we were moving their shit out, Randy, Alaska, and I, we were in one room, and there was a baseball bat in the other room, and there was nobody else in the other room. And next thing you know, you hear that baseball bat just banging on the walls like it was wild. So that house definitely was possessed.
Why are ghosts so eager to harm human beings? In movies, and if you ever talk to people whose houses are haunted, the ghosts are never benign, not interested in watching TV.
They're vicious, girl.
They're like, you know, drag queens on crack. They're uh-huh. like, you said something bad about me, I'm gonna get you.
I will fuck you up.
With all these reality TV shows with drag queens and competitions and Instagram accounts and YouTube and social media, are we changing the way we think about gender? Are we in a golden age of some kind?
I really don't watch Drag Race at all. I stopped watching seasons ago, and I know there's another one, Dragula, that Terry is trying to get onto, but I've never seen that either. I just don't know, but I know drag shows are everywhere now, and there's so many. I used to know everybody because there were not that many of us in Pittsburgh, but now it's so many girls all over the place. But it's very safe. Mm. It's very all audience appropriate.
And there's no more idea that by dressing up as a drag queen, you're sort of like shocking people or
yeah, there's none
bucking
of that.
The system. Now you're sort of like sort uh-huh. of going in this direction of moving into fetish and bondage and role playing and gender playing is sort of in a ways massaging or keeping cross dressing exciting for yourself.
Well, I mean, that's what I do for work. I really yeah. don't do drag shows anymore. It's not appealing to me. I don't have that like itch to do it, like creativity, like, I can't wait to do this on a stage. It never crosses my mind, but I get to dress up quite a lot and I still have my social media going, but everything is just work related. It's nothing that I do for fun. I don't just wake up like, oh, let me take 2 hours out of my day to shave my body and put on mm-hmm. makeup. It's not a thing.
Do you ever work with women to gender play?
I do. I do work with women. I have married. So far, I have 13 married couples.
Wow.
That's impressive. You're like a piano teacher, but instead you're teaching them how to tuck their dick into their panties.
Yeah, a little bit of everything. Some rope bondage.
What do the women want
discipline.
From you?
Women depends. Sometimes they bring their husbands. Like, it's very different, honestly. I have couples that both get makeover and they have reservations. They go get their dinner. And I have couples where a woman wants to make her husband cry, calling him a sissy, like she gets off onto having him be feminized. And, you know, usually they'll bring another guy to fuck her in front of him or something silly. Like, everybody's in it for a different reason.
Wow.
Oh yeah, girl.
So you have a lot of people. So when you have a session at your place, sometimes it's more. It's not just the guy. It's the guy. It's the wife, and then somebody else too.
At my place, no. At my place, I prefer to only work with sissies. I only do sissification and feminization, or I'll do some bondage or corporal discipline. But I don't do group. Like, it's hard to work with too many people. Too max. What they do afterwards, like a lot of times, I mean, I'll take them out to the BDSM event to Swingers Club, so they'll have their own scenes there, but I get them ready for it, or I introduce them to other people in a lifestyle.
Amy, you they have, always have a good an time. Affectation that sounds kind of like Ivana Trump, but is your background Bosnian, or?
I'm from former Yugoslavia.
Yugoslavian.
Yes, I'm just like Melania Trump of fetish workers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. you're be best by cross dress.
Yes,
be transvest. Is that the title for the show?
Yeah, no,
is because Slovenia is right next to Bosnia, isn't it? It's a very same neighborhood, right?
Well, yeah, it was all one country before. My mother, actually, my parents divorced, and my mom is back. She lives in Dubrovnik in Croatia. My father is Bosnian, but he's here.
Do you think you could make Mark look like Melania Trump?
Of course. Just come on over, girl. Yeah.
Oh, really? Well, maybe next time I'm in Pittsburgh, I'll take you up on your services.
Well, maybe next time when you're in Pittsburgh, you stop helping and neighbors and come and actually see me.
What? What happened?
What?
Oh, nothing.
What are you accusing Mark of doing?
Being a helpful neighbor. I'm just going to go help a neighbor.
Oh, you're saying that Mark spends a lot of time visiting men's homes.
Bird watching.
Bird watching in Pittsburgh.
Yes. She's a bad girl.
Well, I have sisters there. You know, I have to hang out with my sisters.
I know. I'm just kidding.
Well, and you're one of my Pittsburgh sisters. You're one of my favorite reasons to visit Pittsburgh. Is to see you and listen to your crazy antics. Yeah, but Alaska's not really there anymore.
Yeah, she's in L.A. We did a cross-country road trip. There's a video on YouTube. It's called Cross-Country Cross-Dressers.
Mm-hmm.
When her and I took a ski trip from Pittsburgh to L.A. It was hilarious.
Did you guys do it in drag?
Some of it we did, yes. All the major cities, like where we stopped and spent the night, we did. Like, oh my God, how about in Oklahoma City? We spent the night in a cruisiest motel. It's called Havana Inn, and I'm pretty sure we were the only ones who checked in with the luggage. But
where was this?
In Oklahoma City, the meth capital of America.
Oh yeah.
Yes, and then in Austin, that was the time when she decided to be sober, okay? But we did every drug that was on the market. She just wasn't drinking booze. I was drinking for both of us. Like, as soon as we walked in, she was already on Drag Race, so, like, everybody knew who she is, and they put us in a VIP section, send us a bottle. I was drunk as fuck, go-go dancing up on a DJ booth. I look at her giving me side eye. I'm like, oh, girl, I can't hang with your sober ass anymore. But then somehow we ended up judging the amateur stripper contest in Phoenix, Arizona. Yeah, it was a fun time.
It was really like a golden age for both of you guys because everything was really new and you guys sort of got to take your friendship and the newness of that celebrity on the road and just experience things from a whole different perspective.
It got old real fast, girl. Like, Alaska wasn't able to just go to the bar with her friends and have a conversation because people come up to her, want to take pictures, want to bother her, and it was a bit annoying.
But it never, you know, the times we ever hung out with Alaska, it never was more than, you know, 5 people or so. And it wasn't like a line of 100 people, you know, like at drag con, you see people like... It's like 3 or 4 hours and it's $100 to meet any drag queen that's been on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh my.
And I'm like, girl, you know,
I can imagine.
And, you know, for some people, it's so exciting to see this folk hero to some degree, you know. But the thing that impresses upon me, especially with Drag Race UK, is how
none of them have an accent.
None of them have an accent, and they're so mediocre in terms, you know, like if you look at Sharon Needles' personality compared to some of these drag queens in the UK, it's pales. It's
well,
like what is the word that the British people use? Milk toast. Generic.
It's very restrained.
Basic. I'm not even interested. People are like, who are you going to interview? And I'm like, does the audience even want to know about these queens? It's like, it's just so bland, you know, and that's why I'm turning to things more like Dragula and other sources of Camp Wanakiki and all that stuff. It's just, it just seems to me, it's like, I don't want to hear safe drag queens. I want to hear drag queens that are thinking about stuff and rebelling and pushing the envelope. I don't want a corporate CEO drag queen. I want a punk rock drag queen.
Right.
Yeah. Your thoughts.
But a drag con, I can imagine what that is. I haven't been to one, but I'm going next year for sure.
I think, you know, like the drag expos and conferences are fun as long as you stay out of the lines and wear a costume and interact with people, because there's all kinds of really interesting people attending the events and working some of the booths that don't.
Well, I have the movie coming out next year, so I'll be in a get up for that.
What movie are you in?
Kill Dolly Kill. It's a trauma movie. I'm in a punk rock musical. I get to play a tranny gang leader. It's amazing.
A what leader?
It's called Kill Dolly Kill. It's produced by Trauma Entertainment, the company that did Toxic Avenger and all the.
And you play the monster in the movie?
I play Slasherella. She's a transgendered woman, a gang leader, and a dominatrix, conveniently.
So you're playing yourself?
I am. Yes, I really am. Like, I remember we shot that movie. Half of it was done in Vegas. All the special effects and murder scenes were done in a studio. And I was taking that shit so seriously. I was up at 4:30 every morning, even though I wasn't shooting my scenes that day. I was doing everybody's makeup on the set. But then I realized it's fucking trauma. Like, people are just there. I mean, basically encouraged to be monsters, wasted. And the second half, I decided to be Lindsay Lohan on the set. So very first day, they're like, where the fuck is Amy? Like, on a way to our location. And it was somewhere in North Indiana in Winnemeck. I was already, you know, on Grindr trying to line up some hookups. I made friends with the people in a bottle shop across the street. So very first day on the set, I'm 3 hours late, wasted. And I have pictures on my phone that I don't even remember taking. And the last picture is just blurry grass because I passed out in my vomit for 4 hours. So second time around, I was a nightmare. So I'm excited to see it too, because I don't remember much of it. I was in a blackout.
And when do you think that's going to come out?
Well, when did we shoot that? In 2017. It's been a while. I feel like by the time the movie comes out, I'll be like, oh girl, look, I was so young in it. Yeah, it's supposed to come out next year sometimes in 2020, I guess.
What's the name of the film?
Kill Dolly Kill.
Kill Dolly Kill.
Yeah, Dolly Deadly 2. The first one is terrible. Don't watch it. I'm
Dolly Deadly 2 is the first one? Or wait, Dolly Deadly is the
Dolly
first
Deadly
one?
Dolly Deadly is the first one, yes.
So this is the part 2.
And this is,
and it has nothing to do with Dolly Parton.
No, it does not. Okay. No.
It's not about like a radioactive Dolly Parton impersonator who comes back to well, revenge.
That sounds great. You should pitch that idea.
Next time around.
I'm right. Working on other projects. Amy Vodka House, it's always good to get a big drink, stiff drink of you. Shot down. Take it as a shot.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it.
It's good to talk to you.
And I will see you next time I'm in Pittsburgh, my dear, or if you ever come to Chicago.
Oh, yeah, hit me up. I want to show you my PlayStation, girl.
Oh, yeah, I want to see it. I definitely want to see it. Take some photos and Maybe yes. If you need some muscle to escort you and your dates out and about, I'll be happy to.
Yeah, don't volunteer me. People look at me and they're like, oh, you're so tough. You could beat me up. Are you going to wrestling? And I'm like, it's for show, not for go. Mm-hmm. I'm made out of glass. Mm-hmm. It is. It's like, you know, when you're sort of like pushing the boundaries of gender, people just ascribe all kinds of power to you that you don't necessarily want or have. Mm-hmm. And then you're just like, look, I'm Amy Vodka House. I'm just a human being with vulnerabilities, needs, and desires. I'm not, you know, Wonder Woman.
No. I'm not?
I can't. Well, maybe.
I'm a fantasy creature.
She is to some of these guys.
I'm a shapeshifter.
I make people's dreams come true by making them feel real good about themselves. Because that's really what fetish work is about. It's about emotional release and exchange of power.
Mm.
And may the force be with you, Amy.
The force of feminization.
Yes, that is a real thing, too.
Do you have a... Because that's one of my favorite kinds of things is the force feminization, where it's like, where they don't really want it, but they secretly do.
Yeah, well, it starts off like they're already in a sub headspace. As soon as they come in, like they sit in a chair, can't move. I'm doing their makeup, and I ask them all the questions. So, like, it started before they even realize it started.
Well, all right,
Amy, thank you so much for talking to us and sharing your adventures as a cross-dressing dominatrix. Well, thank you for having me,
a professional cross-dresser. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're just a sweet transvestite
living the TV lifestyle. Goodbye, Amy. We'll see you soon. Okay,
all right.
Babe?
Talk to you later.
All right. Bye. Bye. Amy Vodka House lives in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. You can visit her on the web at amyvodkahouse.com.
She's just a sweet transvestite.
A not so sweet transvestite
from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Well, I'm so glad. You know, I was kind of waiting to have her on because she was going to be in this movie, and I was just like, I want to talk to you about this movie, but the movie's getting delayed, and she kept telling me these crazy stories. I was just like, you've just got to come on the podcast and talk about, you know, your lifestyle.
What is it that Lindsay Lohan and you, like, you've spilled more than Lindsay
Lohan? I've spilled more booze than Lindsay Lohan, than she's drinking.
It sounds like Amy Vodka House earns her name.
Oh, for sure.
And in the process of making this movie, they're like, we should have hired Lindsay Lohan instead.
Well, from what I understand is they originally wanted Sharon Needles for it, but Sharon Needles like, this is my price. And they're like, we can't afford that. And Amy's like, I'll do it.
Snatch.
But like she said, you know, she was sober for the first part of it. And then she was just like, oh, I'm going to start drinking. And then that's what all went downhill. So
it's so tempting when things are going your way. You want to celebrate and go like, yeah. And that's a time when you sort of have to stand back and breathe and
just let it take it all in the
moment.
Let it roll over you.
You know, and who doesn't want to kick back with a white wine sangria that's been flavored with mangoes and strawberries and a kiss of peach?
Sounds delicious. I want to remind folks that we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus because your contribution to this show is what makes this show happen. We're also on Patreon. You can check us out there. And maybe we'll throw a little extra photo of Amy on the Patreon. You can see
what kind of photo?
You know, who knows? Who knows what Amy will send us? I'm going to open the mail. Oh, my God. There it is.
Are you going to have to blur parts of it?
I might have to.
It is Patreon. It's not just for fans. You know what I'm saying? Mark, if you could be any beautiful woman, like, if you could try, would it be Melania Trump or like?
Why would it be Melania Trump?
I think it would be the least of the person.
That's so, no. Oh, like if I were to be forced feminized?
Like if Amy Vodka House really was a cross-dressing good witch, fairy godmother, and she said, I will transform you for one night into your most beautiful woman you've ever dreamed of being.
Oh, well, it'd be just like me, except with like maybe breasts and a bigger booty and a smaller waist.
You know who I would want to look like?
Who?
Linda Carter at her prime as Wonder Woman.
Oh, wow.
With the ability to dodge bullets.
Before the irritable bowel syndrome, though, right?
Okay. You know, when she was spinning, it was...
It wasn't pretty. I don't know. I like the classic looks, like, you know, Marilyn Monroe or Elizabeth Taylor.
Oh, like young Elizabeth Taylor.
Oh,
not,
yeah.
Not diamonds, no. Perfume,
I mean,
Elizabeth
third
Taylor.
Husband in Elizabeth Taylor is good.
Yeah. You know, or Marilyn Monroe with her skirt being lifted up by a crate. She's very much a, Marilyn Monroe is very much a cross-dressing icon.
Oh, for sure.
For a lot of people, they're like, ooh, let's go to the candy shop. And the skirt blows up and you see the goodies underneath. Mm-hmm.
That's the candy.
Ooh. Well, we want to thank everybody for listening. And remember, you can be anybody you want to be, and you can also pretend. That's what's so great about your imagination, is being able to see the world through another person's eyes and explore your identity and your gender identity and your experience. You can be anybody you want to be.
And just because you're an adult doesn't mean that playtime is over.
Fearlessly be yourself.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.